Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people wonder about this parable of the unjust steward and how Jesus could use someone who acted wickedly or unjustly to teach something positive to his people. It really isn't all that hard, because here, as in many of Jesus' parables, Jesus gives us the explanation at the end of it. He gives us the conclusion that we are to draw after telling the parable. And so, unlike his very first listeners who had to listen through the parable and then hear the conclusion that Jesus gave to them, we have the benefit of having the whole thing already written for us. So let's begin with Jesus' conclusion and explanation at the end, and then see how he gets to it with this parable of the unjust steward. Jesus says, "For the sons of this age are wiser toward their own kind than are the sons of the light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon, so that when you become destitute, they may welcome you into the eternal dwellings." What's the problem that Jesus is addressing in this parable of the unjust steward? What's the sin he wants his people to recognize in themselves, to repent of, and to avoid and correct in the future? Well, he makes a comparison between the sons of this age and the sons of the light. He calls the unbelievers the sons of this age. People as they are naturally born of the flesh only. They're the people who live only for this age, whose life centers around getting by in the world, having the best possible life here, enjoying life here. They're so concerned with this life, in fact, that the threat of a disease, a virus that could end their earthly life prematurely, even the minimal threat posed by COVID-19, makes them willing to upend society and life as we know it, or knew it, in order to preserve their earthly lives at all costs, even if it means trampling on the rights and freedoms and beliefs of everyone else. They are the sons of this age, and they will perish with this age. Christ calls believers the sons of the light, those who have been born again, born of water and the Spirit, born of God who is light. As St. John writes, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. These are the ones who have come to acknowledge their sins through the preaching of God's law, of course, and who have come to believe the promise of the gospel, that God will forgive us and accept us as his own, free of charge, for the sake of Jesus, and through faith alone in Jesus, who made atonement for our sins. The sons of the light, which includes both men and women, of course, know better than to live for this life. They know that this life is short, that our lives are in God's hands, that our goal is not to prosper in this world, but to reach the life that is with God, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. They know that they have to bear difficult temptations and trials in this world, as St. Paul described in today's epistle to the Corinthians, but that these things are actually for our good, to teach us, and they know that, as Paul wrote, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also create such an outcome that you are able to bear up under it. The sons of the light know that this world, this age, and everything in it is perishing. They know not to cling too tightly to anything here, because here is where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. whereas God has laid up for us treasures in heaven and a crown of life for those who remain faithful until death. The saints know that here is simply a preparation for there. But while the saints, the sons of the light, know all that and believe all that, we can still be influenced and even led astray by our sinful nature so that we don't live like that. And so St. Paul pointed to the horrific outcome for the children of Israel, who began as sons of the light, but who gave into idolatry and adultery and ended up dead on the desert floor. Or as Jesus says in the gospel, the sons of this age are wiser toward their own kind than are the sons of the light. How so? Well, just look at the unjust steward, one of the sons of this age, as he deals with his own situation and the people he could affect with his use of mammon, that is, the earthly wealth he had at his disposal, the wealth that turns into a god for so many people, even for the sons of the light. The steward was a steward. The wealth at his disposal wasn't his own. It belonged to the owner of the business, to the rich man for whom he worked. Now, whether the steward started out his stewardship as a lazy bum, or whether he became that later, we're not told. He likely started out okay and so kept his job for a while, but he grew lazy, haphazard, careless with the management of the rich man's things, and was eventually called to account for it. He knew he deserved to be fired. But he also knew that being fired meant he would have no income for himself, so he would end up either begging or finding a job of hard manual labor, neither of which options seemed very appealing to him. So the steward sat down and thought, maybe for the first time in a while, how he could use his Lord's wealth to benefit himself. If the rich man won't provide me an income anymore, then I'll have to rely on other people to provide me with an income. I have the rich man's wealth at my disposal for a little while longer. How can I use it to make friends who will love me and invite me into their homes and take care of me after the mean rich man fires me? I'll fudge the books and cancel some of their debt, anywhere between 20 and 50% of what they owe my Lord. Instead of being angry with the steward for basically giving away some of his own money, the rich man commended him when he found out what had happened. Oh, the steward had lied and cheated and connived and in effect stolen from the rich man. The steward didn't know anything about that cardinal virtue that's called justice. But at least he was finally exercising the cardinal virtue called prudence or wisdom. And in the end, the rich man, by not firing the steward, would end up getting the credit among his debtors for being so generous with them. But Jesus laments, "The sons of this age are wiser toward their own kind than are the sons of the light." Unbelievers often think very carefully and very hard about how to use worldly wealth to buy friends for themselves. Some people contribute to charity and give big public donations to this or that good cause in order to gain favor and influence. Some do it simply for the sake of good karma, thinking if they do something good to others, it's going to have to come back to them somehow. Politicians are famous for it, promising everything from debt cancellation to free money to free health care or housing in order to buy people's goodwill and votes. And shamefully, it often works, doesn't it? But Christians, who know better than to hoard up things for this life, who know that God has commanded us to love one another as Christians, to be devoted to one another, to live in service to one another, and even to do good to all men, often become lazy or haphazard or careless about such things. We get wrapped up in our own stuff. We keep padding our own wallets and stuffing our pantries and building up our bank accounts. And we don't even think about how to carefully use that wealth, God's wealth that we have at our disposal, to do favors for fellow Christians, meaningful, substantial gifts that will make a difference in their lives, that will help take care of the earthly needs of those with whom we are to spend eternity, much less using our wealth to benefit those who are not yet Christians, in the hope that we might entice them to listen to the gospel and so to become sons of the light together with us. And so Jesus holds this parable before our eyes to bring us to repentance yet again for our shameful, self-serving stewardship of his things. And to the penitent, Christ again holds out his blood as the price that was paid for our mismanagement and apathetic service, and calls on us to believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. And then, just as the unjust steward wasn't fired from his stewardship in the end after proving that he could use his master's wealth wisely, so the Lord retains in his service those who have repented of their sins and who are now redevoted to serving faithfully. Well, what does that look like? Jesus tells us very simply, I say to you, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon, so that when you become destitute, they may welcome you into the eternal dwellings. God, the owner, calls on Christians to use their wealth in service to fellow Christians and to those who might become our fellow Christians. Now, that includes your Christian family, of course, and it also includes your offerings given to support your pastor and the ministry among the saints here. It includes support for other pastors and parishes of our diocese and our fellowship. It includes a pastor's family in Colombia, of whom you know. And soon, it could include supporting mission work in the jungles of Peru and in other parts of the world. It includes also looking for opportunities to help the unbeliever so that he may be drawn to hear the gospel by your acts of kindness. The point is, the wise steward or manager watches out for laziness and selfishness and worldliness. He seeks to avoid carelessness and apathy about the wealth that God has put into his hands. He makes it his daily and primary task to consider wisely, how will I use these material things today, these temporary, passing away things that I have in my hands to help my brothers and sisters in Christ, or to try to gain new brothers and sisters in Christ with whom I will spend eternity, whose favor and gratitude are worth far more to me than building up a huge nest egg for myself here on earth. I'll tell you, dear members at Emmanuel, I see you doing these things in how you provide for your pastor and for my family and for the needs of our church, how you've provided already so often for Pastor Marine and his family in Colombia and for others in our diocese when they've needed help that you've known about. I see your willingness to bend over backward to help one another in a time of need. And if any of you falls on hard times, know that you have brothers and sisters here who will be glad to lend a helping hand. And I've seen you just waiting for a chance, a good chance, a wise chance to help anyone and everyone. That help and that desire to help are good and pleasing in God's sight through Jesus Christ. Just remember, you have enemies in this world, the devil and the world and your own sinful flesh, that will always keep trying to turn your focus away from generosity and turning it back towards selfishness and self-centeredness and the service of unrighteous mammon. So stay vigilant. Listen to Jesus' correction and instruction, and become better stewards day by day, by God's grace, of the abundant wealth that the Lord has given us all to use for His glory and for the eternal benefit of our neighbor. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.